Hello and welcome to the second episode of Youth Peace Talks, a podcast by the Youth Peace Initiative in which we give a platform to young peace builders to share their inspiring experience and expertise in the field of peace building. Today you will hear from Emina and Fatma from Bosnia and Herzegovina about their work within Youth for Peace, which is an organization that works towards building a society of sustainable coexistence among people from many different religious and ethnic backgrounds. But let's hear about it directly from them.
My name is Emina. I'm coming from Bosnia and Herzegovina. I am working in Youth for Peace as a program coordinator. Youth for Peace is like the organization of young people that are basically striving to achieve as much as possible peace and peaceful society in Bosnia and Herzegovina. Besides working in Youth for Peace, peace is like the area that I really, really enjoy. So that's why I also decided to study it. So I'm studying my second master's in interreligious studies in peace building. But let's say my first studies, my core area is pedagogy. So by my vocation, I'm academically trained pedagogue. So I basically found a way to, let's say, bridge education, which is really important, together with peace, which is again very important. And that's why, let's say, peace education is like a really, really natural thing for me. And that's it.
And as far as I go, my name is Samira Fatma Barucha, and I'm coming, just like my colleague Emina, from Bosnia and Herzegovina. I live in Sarajevo, and by vocation, I'm an English teacher, currently trying to decide what my master studies will be dedicated to. But I am sure I will be going into peace studies and potentially international relations and diplomacy a bit more, because that's something that really interests me. Apart from Youth for Peace, which is sort of my first passion, I work as multi-region coordinator for United Religions Initiative, where I am combining interfaith work together with peace building, as this is something that is very close to the reality where I live. And I am a very passionate peace activist, and I'm very much motivated by the change that we're witnessing with young people working every single day. I'm looking forward to talking more about the work that we're doing through Youth for Peace and individually through our individual engagements in different aspects.
Thank you so much for your introductions. I'm glad we got to know you a little bit more on a personal level, because it gives more of a context to the work you do with Youth for Peace. And we'll go back to your personal experience with peace building and peace education at the end of the podcast. But in the meantime, I'd love to hear more about Youth for Peace, the kind of work that you do in the organization, and what the main mission and aim is, if you could give a bit more insight about the organization.
Okay, I'll start, and my colleague probably will just take over. So for Youth for Peace, it's really important just to emphasize that we are a pretty young organization, but we were founded on 13th of February 2014. So this year we celebrated our sixth birthday. And as far as Youth for Peace, I can basically tell you that our mission and vision, as you said, we are young people. We are coming from diverse spiritual religious expressions and different ethnic groups from Bosnia and Herzegovina, also coming from different cultures and tradition backgrounds. And we have established Youth for Peace to promote dialogue, inter-ethnic and interfaith cooperation, and also to end all kinds of violence and create culture of peace and justice for young people primarily, but also for the whole society. Also, which is what is really important for us, is like young people. So that's why we were created, like something created from young people to young people. So basically we are striving to have empowered young people who will be initiators and promoters of positive changes, and will create better future through building society of equal opportunities without prejudices. Because as Fatma said, the context and the society we are coming from, unfortunately, is like overburdened with prejudices, with stereotypes, and unfortunately with a lot of inequality. So our purpose was to create opportunities for young people, but as I also said, for the whole society. It's like young people are our target group, but we are aiming at establishing something what's called culture of peace, even though culture of peace, it sounds like a bit like a utopia, but still that's not the aim, that's the process. So we enjoy in this process of establishing a more just, let's say, a society where the rule of law is respected, society where like equity principle rather than just equality principle is established. So Fatma, if I miss something, just feel free to add.
I also just have a small question actually before Fatma steps in. Is your work primarily based in Bosnia? Do you stay pretty local in a Bosnian context, or are you aiming to go a little bit further? Yes, Fatma, you can answer my question.
Yeah, cool. So that's actually a great question. So we were primarily focused on working with local communities in Bosnia and Herzegovina, but as Youth for Peace grew and as our cooperation with other organizations sort of came about, we have expanded the scope of our work to mostly regional, because recently we didn't have any projects that are based only in Bosnia and Herzegovina. There are always partners, participants, facilitators coming from regional countries, which is a great perspective for the context where we're coming from, because the Balkan area, you're not able to separate this very, very heavy context and put it onto just one country or one part of the country. So it's very important for us not only to work in Bosnia and Herzegovina, but to go left, right, up and down around our country and sort of embrace the momentum that's happening over there and sort of include them in the peace building processes. Because not a single unit cannot build peace on its own. A peace building is such an overreaching term. And if I am living in peace, that doesn't mean that my neighbor is, and that there might potentially doesn't, like, that we don't get to a place of a conflict potentially. So facilitating dialogue and everything that Amina talked about is a prevention way for us. And it is sort of a path that we want to show people. And Youth for Peace is a great way for us to exercise peace building. One very interesting thing that attracted me to Youth for Peace is the fact that we all met through different circumstances. And sort of the mission and the vision of Youth for Peace actually attracted all of us coming from different organizations and different backgrounds to work on peace building troubles that we're having in Bosnia and Herzegovina and the region. And Youth for Peace, for me personally, and later we will be talking more about our personal connections to peace building, Youth for Peace has been a perfect spot for me to exercise my own internal peace building. Because through Youth for Peace, I've encountered groups of people that outside of peace building activism, I might have never encountered. And I've been able to talk about very painful, stressful topics through a well-facilitated way because of Youth for Peace. So this is what is very different about us. And I'm very proud of the fact that we had to do our own process of reconciliation and peace building internally, because we are coming from these very diverse backgrounds. And our parents, our grandparents, haven't really talked about peace building. They have been on completely opposite sides. And right now we as young people have a chance to exercise this reconciliation, this peace building. And that's a point that I'm very proud of when it comes to Youth for Peace.
Well, that was a lovely presentation. And I love how you mentioned that peace building is not just contained in one local area, or it's not just contained in one kind of group. So you're doing peace building on all kinds of levels, and including different kinds of people, but also on a societal level, on a personal level, it's all interlinked. And I think that's the key to a sustainable, peaceful society in the end, which sounds very utopian, but let's hope we can work towards it. So could you maybe mention some more specific projects that Youth for Peace is working on?
So we're trying sort of to work on a few different fields at all times. So trying to work with young people and all those people who work with young people. So our target group is not just like working specifically with people, for example, from age of 13 to age of 35. there is a whole scope of people around these this group of young people that need to be included. Religious officials, teachers, and a bunch of other people that need to be included in the peace building processes. So trying to include different target groups, trying to think about this diversity as diversity for us is not a plus, it's a must. And we started with interreligious dialogue because it was very important for us, but now it's a must, and it's not just something that we strive to, but this diversity is something that we're trying to maintain throughout all of our activities. When it comes to specific examples of projects, currently we're trying to embrace the online sphere and sort of to experiment as much as possible with online teaching platforms. Amina did an incredible workshop a few weeks ago together with our colleague, and I think that this specific moment in time is extremely important for us because we're not limited to anything. Online, like internet, is giving us so many things to do. So currently we're trying to sort of develop different workshops and do things online as much as possible. And we're at a very exciting moment in time because we're trying to develop an online campaign. And Amina will be able to speak more about that, but it will be pretty much focused on prevention of hate speech, which is a huge problem in Bosnia and Herzegovina, in the region, and it is an example of a cross-border cooperation. But something that is very close to my heart are activities that we, before COVID started, that we used to do with children coming from disadvantaged families, from foster families, and from like homes for children without parental care. And this has been a very dear process of everyone because we had a chance to follow up these kids through the process of growing up and pretty much try to mentor them and try to influence their lives for better. And this has resulted in great things. And a lot of these kids are now grown-ups and are parts of Youth for Peace. So there's just a large scope of what we're actually trying to do. But most of it is focused on intensive workshops that are designed as pretty much dialogues between the facilitators and the participants around different topics. So peace building is not people sitting around and talking about peace and this utopia. It's hard, it's painful, it's very stressful. And I strongly disagree with people saying that, like, well, you kids talking about peace, like you don't even know what's like not to live in peace. And I'm like, are you sure? Because the society and the world in general, with these ultra-right people coming to power in so many countries all over the world and so many different problems, like, do we really think that we're living in peace right now? So yeah, so pretty much that's what I would like to point out. And maybe Amina has something to add as well.
Just like a bit more, just examples of the project, because Fatma emphasized the importance of peace building and just like pointed out the importance of it. As she said, like we are preparing this online campaign, which is in process. It's like in construction. So just follow us, follow some of our channels, and let's say stay tuned to see the products of really hard work behind the scenes. Also, just to mention that also on our platforms, you can find on Instagram and Facebook videos that we produced as part of one project where we tried to just encompass how life during the COVID-19 looks like and what are the experiences of different kinds of people, of young people, of women, also as Fatma said, religious leaders, because we try to work on different levels. So you can find those videos also on our YouTube channel, because we also have YouTube channel. So these videos are out there, and they are 2-minute videos, very short ones, but with really strong messages. So you can try to find them on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. And also we have also projects that are supposed to be implemented offline, but unfortunately due to COVID-19 crisis, we had to postpone them, like Erasmus Plus, which is realized in implemented in cooperation with with 4 other countries, Hungary, Serbia, Italy, and Kosovo, and of course Bosnia and Herzegovina. So it's like a pretty big projects with pretty big audiences, but unfortunately due to this pandemics we cannot travel, so that one is postponed. And also one of the projects that was supposed to have the regional character, we had to scale it down, and now it's going to be on the national level. But many things are happening. We are not resting. We are not like, yeah, it's pandemic, so just like you know, stay 5 months somewhere there. Don't talk about peace building or peace education, because a peace can never be, let's say, put aside. And especially during this COVID-19 crisis, which is unfortunately showing that we don't live in a peaceful world, and much to say in societies that are already affected, like, let's say, our society, but also Europe in general, which basically is going through some kind of crisis for quite a long time. So let's say we are active, we are trying to put some things in the online sphere, but most of the things should stay offline, because as Fatma said, peace building is a process which is pretty stressful, and many things cannot be done online, because you have to have this genuine interaction with your participants and have to facilitate the process, because it's not about teaching, it's rather about facilitating the process.
It was amazing hearing about all the projects you're doing. You definitely sound very busy. And I love what you said about diversity is not a plus, it's a must. And that sounds like it's also the case in the kinds of projects that you're undertaking, because it's so many different things that you're doing. So that's very interesting. And I'm actually curious, with this transition to online work, how are you experiencing the quality of peace building interactions and workshops and everything? Because as you're saying, it is very reliant on in-person interactions. And we've experienced some issues as well in the context of the Youth Peace Initiative, because we don't have the in-person interaction anymore. So how has that been transitioning online?
Okay, I can try to just give you a brief reflection about it. As Fatma said, I facilitated a few workshops, but all these, let's say, online workshops can tackle the topic pretty shallow, I would say. I mean, for me, it's really like a bit even dangerous to go into very, very deep topics, into very, very deep discussions, just doing it online, because there's no this real interaction, and there's no, let's say, this owning the space, because you have to own the space, not you as facilitator, but also participants have to own the space, and creating this atmosphere, which should be safe atmosphere, an atmosphere for opening up, it's a bit hard to do it online. So online, of course, many workshops can be done, but for me, online can serve you for, let's say, working on knowledge, providing knowledge, even providing certain set of skills, but working on attitudes, working on beliefs, working on let's say values, working on this desire to seek peaceful resolution of conflicts, working on this desire for peace building, I think this has to be really done inside the offline space, especially in the space where people are able to see the other side, you know, the so-called other that we mention so much in peace building. It's important actually to have this interaction, and it's important to see the other human being on the other side, basically, that sometimes in your head presents some kind of either threat or something that is completely embedded into prejudices and stereotypes. But it's possible to work, as I said, but for me, it's really important to have this really genuine and offline communication and interaction with participants. So it's possible on working on knowledge and skills, but working on other sets, on other part of peace building, which is super important, because just having knowledge and skills, it's not enough. You have to have desire to use them. That's something, that's another pair of shoes that needs to be facilitated inside this safe offline environment.
Yeah, I think that we have been doing great things in past 6 years, but I think that the next 6 years will be much harder and much more serious than the past 6 years. And why am I saying this? I think throughout this process that we've been trying to facilitate, we have matured and sort of figured out that there is a whole new step that we need to take and to be able to create a society that we want. And this COVID time, which Amina has so eloquently explained, how we're not able to facilitate this dialogue in the space that we would want to see in the future right now. But it's a great period for every organization that is dealing with peace building sort of to dig deeper, because I think that right now a lot of vulnerabilities of our communities are coming out, a lot of inequalities, And I think that it's a great opportunity for everyone sort of to question the realities where they live. Does everyone have access to healthcare? Does everyone, is everyone equally affected by job loss and all these different things, which are very important in the process of peace building? It's different to speak about peace to someone that has a few thousand euros per month of income and someone who has a few hundred euros of income. It's a completely different conversation. And I think that right now it's important to keep the crowd still warmed up for peace building through these online activities, and then to really strike hard on all the issues that we as a society are encountering, and sort of to get ready, because this is a great time for planning and getting ready and using the online space. And then when we're finally free of the virus, I hope so soon, then we can really strike and we can really make a much bigger impact. And why? Because there has been nothing happening. And right after all of this is done, if we're ready, we can then really, really make something very noticeable and very visible. I think that all peace organizations more or less are struggling with visibility, because peace is not that attractive. A scandal is more attractive than peace. So let's try to make in the future, I believe that for Youth for Peace, our mission in the next 6, 10, God knows how many years, is to make peace very attractive for young people.
Nice. Thanks for adding that. That was very interesting. And I think because of time, maybe we should move on to maybe your personal connection with peace building. And so we prepared a few questions. If you could give a maybe one sentence answer for each question, that would be great. Of course, if you have to run over one sentence, that is fine. I won't stop you. So maybe we can start with the first one, which is, why do you think young people need to be included in decision-making processes more?
It is always interesting to listen to the dynamics of decision makers who always say that we need to consult young people on an XY issue. And young people in this only have the advisory role. And I think that we need to shift that and actually empower young people to be the decision makers, not just to be a part of the process, because I think that that is absolutely not fair. It's wonderful to have empowered people, but why are we empowering them?
I would say for me, that's basically the question of not being the future, but being the present, because young people, in my opinion, are the present. You know, it's not like you're the future, so wait for some future to come and then act. It's important to act here and now, because we are here and now. And it's important, as Fatma said, not to be some kind of advisors, but really be able to make decisions, because this planet is going to, let's say, also, you know, it's for us as well. It's not just for the generations that were before us or generations that are now, but also for the future generations. And I think young people, in my opinion, are a bit more, let's say, sensitive towards certain questions of when it's about the future of the planet, you know. So that's why I think it's important to have young people in the decision-making processes, because it's important to have different perspectives, not just the perspective of those who are already there, but also the perspectives of those who are, let's say, already a bit oppressed, because I see young people as one of the, let's say, vulnerable in danger group, together with women, together with other vulnerable groups. And that's why it's really important for us to act now and be able to act now, not just to be empowered, as Fatma said, because empowering, yeah, super nice, but it's important to be the ones who are really acting and who are implementing things. And that's why that this question is super important, but we can speak about it like until tomorrow, but let's just stick to the time.
Yeah, amazing answers. Yeah, youth has to be an active member of decision-making processes. And again, this links to what you were saying earlier, diversity is not a plus, it's a must. So you need to include all kinds of generations in these processes. So the next question was for both of you, which is much more personal. Who and what inspired you to work in the field of peace building?
That's like a question for, let's say, a storytelling session that could be elaborated into depths. But honestly, just being a young person coming from the society that we are coming from, and I'm not just going to speak about like, okay, we had war, it's a post-war country, but it's really a country that that still suffers from these kinds of conflicts that are still present inside the education system, inside the politics, inside the economy, inside the narratives, etc., etc. So just growing up in a country which is really messed up, a country where like you have so many bad decisions made into last 25 years after the war ended, just makes you like, I want to do something, and makes you like, I don't want like generations after me who are coming, or even my children, to live in a dysfunctional country that I live in. So basically that's one of the things that inspires you to start working. And of course, when you see all the other young people that are striving to do something, for me, the best motivation is when I go to the seminar, when I speak to my participants, and when I see some of them really inspired to do something and really doing something, that's like a motivation, because it gives you boost. It gives you like, yeah, there's still hope, and there are still people who are thinking that this country deserves something and that this country needs to go forward. I mean, as a state, we are a huge mess, but as a country, because I always like to make this, the distinction between that, we are beautiful, and we really, really need to give it a try. And I think we as young people need to do as best as we can. And that's why, in my opinion, one of the things is peace education and peace building, but that's just one tiny thing people can do, and young people can do, and any other things, like all the other spheres, are really important to be open for young people. So I found myself in peace building, but some other young people would find themselves in politics. And I would say go for it, because we need good politicians as well. We need prosperous young politicians as well. Those who are going to be able to make decisions that are going to be, good, not just for them, but good for the whole society. So I would say like, it's really important just to have, just to see other people and their motivations. And that makes me empowered to do and go further.
For me, I have to be very simple and very blunt, to be honest. I got into the entire sphere of NGOs and the civil society because everything annoyed me as a teenager. And I've noticed that no one is addressing the issues that I'm having and the hate speech I'm encountering every day and the divisions among people. And I'm coming from a very diverse city. I'm coming from the capital, and these sort of things are not supposed to be seen here as much. And so I noticed that no one is addressing this, and I was really annoyed as a teenager. And I figured that the set of skills that I had at the moment and that I was looking for in the future aligned with civil society, and I decided to stick with civil society. And I am less and less frustrated because I am doing personally something to address it. And I'm very proud to know that I have colleagues such as Amina and a huge number of my colleagues from Youth for Peace and other NGOs from Bosnia that are annoyed by the situation as well, and they do want to change something. So what sort of my message is for everyone is that you need to find a spot, just like Amina said, that aligns with your interests, with your desires, and with your set of skills, and then stay there and make a change. If you're a lawyer, there is a space for you. If you're an activist, there is a space for you. So let's get engaged, and let's be less frustrated and annoyed and more active.
Well, it's beautiful to hear that you managed to transform this frustration into something very constructive and active. And I think you actually both answered the last question in your previous answer, which was, what would you advise someone who wants to work in the field? So I think you already covered this more or less. It's more, from what I hear, it was focusing on your strengths and applying it to something that you can improve in society around you. Well, it was amazing talking to you. How can our listeners find you online and Youth for Peace online?
So basically, you can find us on our website, which is peace.ba. You can also find us on Facebook, Youth for Peace. Also on Instagram, Youth for Peace. Beha, Bosnia and Herzegovina. We also have Twitter account, so you can find us on all of these super important and let's say super spread social media, visiting our website. And also we have, as I said, YouTube channel with our videos, not just the videos from the previous project, but also we made few other videos, for example, one for the Peace Day, or the video about our work that we do, or the video about some of the projects. So just go there and, as they say, hit like, subscribe and share.
Nice, perfect. We'll also leave the links in the description of the podcast if you need to find them online. And to you listeners, please go follow Youth for Peace. They do amazing work. And thank you both for talking with us today. It was really amazing hearing your experience and the work that you do. And I wish you all the best for the work that you do now, online and offline. Hopefully offline will happen soon.
We hope so too. And thank you for the space, and we wish you the best of luck with your podcast. We'll make sure to share it with our English-speaking volunteers and the rest of the community here.